Count me in. Count me in.
In 3, 2, 1, Kenny. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Kroger.
Thank you very much. Well, there I am. Welcome to the Gary and Kenny Show. As Kenny just said, I am Gary Kroger in Waterloo, Iowa, and I'm joined by Kenny Seisler in...
in Calabasas, California. All right, but enough about me.
Enough
about
you.
Let's talk to Owen, because we may be on the clock.
You want to talk to Owen Macken right now?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you an introduction, right?
Oh, I'll take it.
One of those... Owen Macken is an actor, writer, director, very busy man, as we've been trying to get him on this podcast for... 8 years now. He was in Australia filming La Brea, which of course is La Brea in Los Angeles. We'll talk about that. He plays Gavin Harris. He was off to Ireland to film a movie, and we're going to ask him about that. But now we finally got him in LA for a couple of weeks because he's a friend of Kenny's son. He agreed to do our show. Welcome, the very handsome Owen Macken.
Hello, Owen.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you for your patience in finally setting this up across a bunch of different time zones.
It's not patience. We're thrilled if anyone does our show. This is your place in LA?
This is my writing room. Yeah, but I've got Zoom on my phone. But
yeah, you got a dry erase over here. You've got a safari hat.
I do.
Cool.
I do. I got the dry eraser because I write notes on it, and you know it's.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's incredibly helpful, right? Because sometimes I used to find myself sitting in a coffee shop writing all the time using two laptops. And I was like, you know, it'd be great if I could just write on the wall here. Huh. So the first thing I did when I moved to this new place was basically put as many sort of dry erasers and big sort of like paper things on the wall so I can just write stuff. The only problem I hate, though, is then I write stuff on the wall, tear it down to go into a new thing, and then I have to stick the other stuff back up. And then I look like I'm in a Fincher movie and I look like a lunatic.
But well, do you get the little baffled when you write something up there and you go, should I erase this or not? Does the of like, is this idea over and let's move on?
That's the problem. Then you're taking a photograph of it, a photograph of the notes, deleting them. And then you're like looking at your phone and the notes anyway. And I'm like, I'm not sure what the purpose of this is, but I feel like I've achieved something.
But let's go. Right. So you've been busy. You've been doing La Brea. This is the third year of La Brea?
Third year, yeah.
You were in Australia for how long?
Probably about 17 years. No, we were there for in total almost 2 years.
But La Brea...
But like this last... To do a season, how long were you down there?
Well, the last season, we only did 3.5 months because we got cut in half because of the impending writer's strike. So we had to get shot. We had to get that out before the strike.
No, may I ask... Why Australia? Yeah. I mean, it is La Brea. It is La Brea, as we know La Brea.
Yeah, well, so originally the pilot was shot in Canada, but then when COVID happened, we ended up shooting, we shot in Australia, because Australia, I don't know if you remember, go back when COVID was happening, and everywhere around the world was shut down, except for Australia.
Oh, and they Australia.
Had all these, do you remember they had all these festivals and parties, and there's all these pictures of like 40,000 Australians at a festival, and everyone was like really like, you know, jealous. So a lot of American productions moved to Australia then in that first year of COVID because they're open and they've got a really good film industry there and they got a lot of great crews. So when we moved there to Melbourne, we were like, this is fantastic. I'd been in a lockdown in like LA, Ireland, London, suddenly in Australia. And then Australia locked down about 4 weeks later. And we had the most intense lockdown in Melbourne, pretty much in the entire world. And then everywhere else was open and everywhere in LA and Ireland was having parties and we were in a lockdown. So...
Now, so people who don't know, La Brea, I guess is named after the fact that there is in Los Angeles,
the tar pits.
A place called the La Brea Tar Pits. Now, did you know about the La Brea Tar Pits before, Owen?
I did. I've been there. I've been there as a tourist.
Well, that's because you've probably been to LA and known about it. But I don't know if a lot of people know that it's a real place.
Yeah, well, you know, when I first came to LA, I don't know, you know, you guys are from here or whatever, you live here. When you first move to a place, you do all the touristy stuff.
Of course.
When I first came here, I did everything. And you go to the Getty and you go to Malibu and you go to La Brea Tar Pits and you go and you see the lights and you kind of wander around. And so
I lived 4 blocks west of the La Brea Tar Pits. Never went there once.
Well, that's like I lived in New York and I never went to like, you know, the Statue of Liberty.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I'm from Dublin and I don't think I've ever been to Christchurch or seen the Book of Kells, you know.
You never toured the Guinness Factory.
So is the premise...
I've never toured the Guinness Factory ever.
For real.
So is it the premise of the show
yeah,
that
yeah,
so in the premise of the show is that they, your, I guess your family, were they at like the museum at the La Brea Tar Pits, and all of a sudden there was a giant sinkhole, and that's how they ended up back in time.
I don't think his family are that cultured in this show. But yeah, they were just driving past the La Brea Tar Pits.
And they were on Wilshire.
They were right on the corner there. Wilshire and La Brea. Yeah. No, the show was set on La Brea because David Applebaum, the showrunner, had this concept of this sinkhole opening up right on La Brea and sucking all these people into it.
Right.
So, and then it links because it happens to be in 10,000 BC. So there's certain things that happen in La Brea tar pits. Like in those tar pits, they found like camels and various other animals.
Right.
So you go back 10,000 years, and that's where the kind of like this sort of parallel.
Now, when you go back to 10,000 BC, is Raquel Welch there at all in her?
Is Ringo there?
Yeah, we looked.
No.
We
yeah.
No. I had that poster.
No, it's a fantastic premise. And the show's doing extremely well.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. The third season comes out, I think, in January, February. I think obviously this year all got a little bit messed up fairly. So we're kind of, I think this third season airs sometime, I think, January.
Well, Kenny's very suspicious of shows with sinkholes, aren't you?
The thing that I wonder when I watch the show, especially for actors, and because I'm such a cynic anyhow, is that when you're in a show like this and you're attacked by dinosaurs and beasts and these incredible things, and you as an actor are standing there and the director's going, you have no idea what's coming at you.
And you're looking at
describing to you like a dinosaur. What are you looking at when you're petrified?
Problem is, I'm a cynic like you. So I need a little bit of context, you know? I need to know what's going on here. They did this thing, which was really fun, especially this year, where the production design team and the VFX team, they'd actually build these sort of semi to scale cardboard cutout models of rhinos and stuff.
So they do
them for the full length, and like two or three people would have them on sticks or on stilts and tied by rope and kind of move it around due to context of like scale and size and stuff.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're just scared, staring at a bush.
And that works for you? Or it strikes me as a little humorous?
It's better than the tennis ball.
Right.
Or a piece of gaffer's tape.
Yeah, they wave the green tennis ball around, and you're kind of just like all looking in different directions.
Can you give us a face? Can you give us a reaction?
Yeah. Do you have a dinosaur, and this is a giant mammoth. Do you have two different looks for that?
Do you know?
Give us any look.
Any look.
That's a dinosaur. That's definitely because you're looking up.
But I had to be really still so the dinosaur didn't see me.
Uh-huh. You know? And there was a little bit of disbelief in your eyes too. You couldn't believe what you were saying. I picked it all up.
Couldn't believe there's a dinosaur.
And it was 12 meters high.
There was a lot of subtext going on in that look.
I know that. Yeah. As there is behind your head. It's like a Dolly meets William Blake.
Oh, so now, Well, I've got a bunch of different. I always try and, wherever I've been lucky enough to travel a lot of places when I've been filming. So I always try and bring back some art or something from wherever I've been, just to kind of remind me of it, or just trying to find a really cool artist and so forth. So,
Australia. You went from Australia back to Ireland to do another movie.
I was doing a show in Ireland, which for the over the summer, an Irish equity project. So we just finished that like last week.
So you fly from Australia to Dublin?
I came back here for 4 days just to watch.
Is there a direct flight from Ireland to Australia?
You got to go via Dubai or Singapore. So it's actually easier
to go east.
Yeah, pretty much. It's almost easy. Well, it's kind of ends up being the same. It's as easy almost to come to L.A.
Yeah,
you know, have a coffee, go to Starbucks, and then carry on.
I mean, it's a long flight. I mean, what is it? And when I was talking to you, trying to set this up, and you were in Australia to try to get those days right, we were like, "Well, let's schedule for a Monday," which wasn't our Monday; it was his Tuesday.
Do you know? Honestly, for almost 2 years, and I mean this with all the love in the world to Australia, because I made a lot of friends there, and I really loved filming in Australia. But you end up being sucked into this vortex where there's people I know who moved to Australia, and you don't hear from them ever again. because well, it just gets really difficult.
And then there's the sinkhole.
Well, then, yeah, they all disappear into sinkholes. They're eaten by dinosaurs. And you're like, hey, no, but it just becomes a time zone thing becomes different. And you're trying to organize on Monday and you realize it's your Wednesday morning and it's Monday night.
How long can you remain this busy? I mean, are you loving it or it's like, okay, two more years and I've got to have a more sensible location, time, schedule, whatever.
No, I mean, I'm always on a holiday. I'm always happy to go to work. I think honestly, going to work and working in this industry is like my favorite thing. I always feel,
you know, this is a handsome guy who's
have a job.
Yes, absolutely.
This is a handsome guy who's traveling the world and is a celebrity, yeah, and whatever. Right. And I'm supposed to feel sorry for him, Gary? Is that right. really what
exactly?
You're saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, feel sorry for me here.
No, handsome guy, handsome guy with an Irish accent. I'm not even telling my wife about this show.
Let me ask you that question. Do you use the Irish accent in your character as Gavin, no, or you're an American?
I never get asked to do an Irish accent.
No, you don't.
Like, what, in Merlin? No. What about Merlin?
Merlin, I did I don't know what accent I did. I think I did a weird British hybrid accent on that.
But why would you?
I was going to do a Scottish accent on that because I didn't want to do my own accent. I turned up on the day of the read-through to do this Scottish accent. And I don't know how you guys find this, but I always find that first day or the first 2 days, and you're working with a bunch of new people, it's always like being in school and you kind of feel slightly awkward.
Yeah.
And then after 3 days, you're all best friends. It's fine. But that first day, you're like, fuck, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I walked in to do this read-through on Merlin. And the director of that episode, David, was Scottish. And he opens with this big Scottish brogue. And he starts talking to me in this big Scottish accent. And I was like, I can't do a fucking Scottish accent here. Fuck.
It's a hard one. Yeah.
So I just made up some fucking accent on the table. And I was like, well, I'm stuck with that now. It's like, all right.
Yeah, you can't. Can an Irishman appropriate a Scottish accent? And can a Scottish person appropriate an Irish? I would think that's kind of like, get a Scottish actor or just get an Irish actor.
Yeah, just the Irish Sea apart.
I was just trying to do something a little bit different, but it backfired, and I didn't get very far. I didn't even get past the read-through.
I was always the guy on any, and I'm retired, but in any movie set, in any language, the crew, I would become, like you say, very acclimated and friendly with the crew after a couple of days. They would always teach me how to say, I have a very big dick in any language.
Oh, good. That's helpful.
Yeah, yeah. I learned it. That ja ima veliki kurats, if you're ever in Croatia.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. See, you learn things on this show.
Yeah. I usually just learn, like, when you go to Serbia or Bulgaria, you learn what rakia is, and they're just like, rakia will get you really drunk really quick, and I'm like, great, I'll just have that. You never, Ken, you never had rakia? It's like
no, I didn't, but I just thought that would be a great idea if you put together a book of all the important phrases you should know in certain cities that'll either get you laid or get you drunk.
Ja ima veliki kurac.
There you go. And I got some down.
Put that on the white dry erase. Put that on the whiteboard.
We'll add your phrase, Gary, with I've got rakia, and the two of them together are like, there you go.
So you have to do the American accent. Did they tell you you can't? Because what would be the big deal? Your wife could have married a guy from Ireland, right? You could have been Irish.
Yeah. I mean, it could be anything at this stage. I think people are a lot. I don't know. I mean, I think it depends. I think it's not even as the way it used to be like 15, 20 years ago. I think because the world is so much more kind of like multicultural and kind of like
complex. Well, you know, it used to be. I mean, it's the phenomenon that I think most Americans are recognizing now, that we're seeing all these shows like Succession and Billions, in which all you have these actors from Ireland or the UK, rather, from the UK.
Right.
And then we all discover, hey, when they go to do an interview, they're either British or Irish or whatever. And I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, don't we have an American second act?
There's a lot of American actors. I found the same with Christian Bale. I always thought Christian Bale was American.
Yeah, I did too originally. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then and then you hear him do an interview, and you're like, "Wait, you're Welsh?" I was like, "Well, hold on a second."
Owen, listen to me very carefully. I have what's known as a classic American non-dialect accent.
Right.
I am,
and personality, by the way.
I'm actually what you learn in the textbook
to speak English. There's no dialect from my region. So,
actually recording this Zoom right now to kind of save your voice here.
And on that note, since we're Owen, does anybody ever spell your name correctly? Do they see it and ever say it correctly?
No. So I even find the same when I come back in the airport and I go to immigration that they have no idea how to pronounce it. So it's but I mean, I think it always used to get me through immigration when I was younger and in like college and stuff, because we had spent half the time just trying to figure out what my name meant. And then
is there a meaning to it that it ended up being spelled that way?
No, it's just he's in debt. He's
it's
Owen.
Just that it's just that in Irish, in Gaelic, a lot of like Irish, there's a thing called a father, which is like the French accent, and it just kind of goes over certain letters and just kind of silences them.
So I am kind of curious about this. Owen was born and raised in Dublin, and you were grown up in a time when, and I find it, talk about understatements in terms of description, they called it the Troubles.
Right.
The war between the Protestants and the Northern Islands and the UK and the British and the whole thing. It was just Troubles. Mm. We called ours a civil war. This was
some people in the South still call it the troubles between the states.
Well, whatever. Did that shape your life at all? What was going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as prevalent now as it used to be, although it's still there, and it's still there's still an undercurrent of it. And I think Brexit is kind of sort of reawoken just a touch of it. I spent some time up there recently, just kind of talking to some cops over the border in Northern Ireland about that, and they still have kind of issues with it. But compared to the 80s and the 90s, it's nothing like it at all. If you ever watched like any Jim Sheridan's movies, like In the Name of the Father or The Boxer, mm-hmm. and so forth,
yeah, sir.
And that's pretty much. But that was, I guess, a lot of that was the 80s, and I was very young in the 90s, so I kind of grew up. I remember very distinctly, like now. Ireland playing England in like an international sport, especially because of rugby, because rugby's become so popular. It happens every year, so it's not a big deal anymore. Uh-huh. But in the 90s, Ireland played England in a football match, and the game got abandoned after like 25 minutes. I think David Kelly scored, and all the English fans at the time tore up the stadium, and the match was abandoned. So all through like the 80s and 90s, you couldn't have Ireland playing England in any form of international sport, because it would always be
Was your family political? Did your family have did you have a position? No. In other words, was there conflict even among your friends?
No. And I went to a school that was kind of mixed. It was kind of part Catholic and part Protestant. But there was definitely that delineation, especially in the 90s and the 80s about it. But it's kind of, I think as people have grown up, it's softened, obviously, politically. Bill Clinton had a huge amount to do with that as well, with the Good Friday. Hmm. But I do think that sport has had one of those things where it's softened a lot of kind of just general attitudes separate to politics and stuff. Because when you end up with kind of like people following sport in a certain way, then I think it's sort of like a lot of Irish people follow British football teams, you know, like someone like we all follow like Manchester United and Liverpool. A lot of Irish players used to play for those. So I think there's always been, you know, it's kind of just slowly just softened over the years. And now I don't think it's
yeah, super, I just wondered whether it impacted you as a filmmaker. Did you see the movie Belfast?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a beautiful movie. Yeah.
Beautiful movie.
It did, I guess. I guess it probably has, because we've always had a very strong sense of Irish identity, and we're always very much not English. So every now and again you might hear of like, you know, an Irish actor or an Irish a golfer or kind of like sporting person, and they're referred to as being British in like the British press, and we get very upset about that. Yeah. So the British would appropriate Colin Farrell or Saoirse Ronan whenever it's
right as one of their own.
Yeah, right. If they were getting nominated for an Academy Award for me, you know, it's like British actor. You're like, no, we're not British.
You have that in common with Scotland, because my wife and I were just in Scotland. So are you, Kenny?
Yeah.
And there's a camaraderie with Irish, because they feel they want to be separate as well. They don't want to be just part of Great Britain.
Who drinks more? Who drinks more?
To the north.
Well, Scott, I mean, I unfortunately, you know what, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I actually prefer Scotch whiskey to Irish whiskey, and I get in trouble for that. But I think the Scots have probably got better drinking habits.
You think?
I prefer Scotch, yeah.
I prefer a peaty Scotch. I want there to be a campfire in my mouth. So I like the island Scotches. very right. much.
And Lafroy, very Lagavulin.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've got some Ardbeg right behind me here.
Okay, yeah. I'm more of a Macallan or a Glenfiddich.
Oh, Macallan is unbelievable. Macallan is unbelievable.
I'm a big fan of Nikka and Abiki, though. I think Japanese whiskey is fantastic.
Now, what about beer? Are you a beer drinker as well?
I don't really drink beer.
Me either. I'm not a beer drinker either. Yeah. No.
But I always found that, like, you know, I used to even though I could go and play football after drinking whiskey. But you drink beer, I can't even walk straight. So it's like, what's the point? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Owen, are you back in Ireland anytime soon? Back in Dublin anytime soon? I'm saying this because my wife and I are going to go there.
Oh.
So you're going to say, oh, no, I won't be back for quite a while.
No, I won't be back till Christmas.
We'd love to tour the Guinness factory with you.
Oh, well, when are you going to go?
It wouldn't be next April.
Next April?
Well,
I have no idea if I'll be there in April.
I'm a good time, Owen.
I believe it. If I'm in Ireland, I'll definitely go to the Guinness factory. Yeah. I've actually never been, so I'm actually overdue a visit. But, you know,
we were going to come back for the holidays, Owen, but we are not because Jackie's pregnant.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to tell me this over a Zoom?
I thought he would have told you already.
I meant to see Jared like this weekend.
I think Jared, well, you've embarrassed him now.
I think I probably, I didn't know that. I would have thought he would have told you.
I haven't talked to you yet because I've been seeing. This is fantastic news. I love the fact that I get to hear this over a Zoom. Good for them. That's brilliant.
It is brilliant. We're so happy. So delighted. It'll be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy smokes.
I suppose you're going to be an uncle.
What? I know. I mean, well, I'm a terrible babysitter, so I won't be there. I'll be in a different country.
You'll still have to send gifts.
Well, of course. I mean, that's compulsory, right? Yeah. Isn't that the main reason why you make somebody a godfather? Just so you can give
of course gifts? It is. Of course it is. And for the babysitting duties.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, you must be thrilled.
I am. We are over the moon about it. We really are.
Fantastic.
And we love her with such a passion.
So, Owen.
Jackie's wonderful. She really is.
I know.
I'm not digging for dirt or anything, but you're like I keep mentioning, you're a handsome young man, you know, at the top of your game.
Are you going to say you have a big dick in a foreign language, Gary? You
know,
Gary?
No, we're past that.
I'd love to go on a date with you, Gary, whenever you want. Let's have a date.
You know what? I'm not going to even rule that out. I'm just looking for all new adventures. But my point is, are you just really enjoying bachelorhood? Are you just having a great time? I mean, are you going to get married anytime soon? What's the game plan?
To get married, there's usually the necessity to be in a relationship. That's what I found to be like the first port of call to getting married. So I've been the last couple of years, I've been doing so much traveling. It's kind of been that has made it more difficult to have a relationship. To be honest, because I've been moving countries so many times and also in different places.
It would be hard to have a relationship, but I mean, do you see yourself as a guy having your own little babies and things and making, you know, Jared an uncle to babysit? And
I don't really know. Foreseeable future.
No.
No. Right now, I don't think that's me.
That's the answer I was looking for, actually.
So is this where we're supposed to? Is this where we're supposed to go? Sorry, ladies.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, sorry, girls, he's not committing. Well, actually, maybe that's not sorry. That's like exciting. All right.
What is
this could go viral. I think I'd probably lose children. You know, I don't even have a dog, so I mean, I don't think I'd be able to take care. I struggle trying to keep my plants alive.
You know, you even have the good bedhead going, Owen. You even have good bedhead.
I'm expressing a little man crush here, aren't I?
Yeah.
I haven't had a shower. I am only just out of bed. I will be honest with you. So I told you, Gary. I was having breakfast in the sunshine when I realized I was like, I gotta jump on for this. That's why I said 11 because you know 11 is like a time when I can be sure I'll woken up by 10-ish. 10:30-ish, you know.
Well,
hence, I'm still having coffee, so I don't
feel like you.
You're literally sitting on my coffee pot. That's
how do you manage? I mean, I know we talked about it, but how do you manage the time zones? I mean, I find it very difficult to go to Europe, and then it takes me at least a day to adjust, or even a couple of days. You're all over the place.
I went even back. I went even back like 5 or 6 days. So I think I'm still pretty much jet lagged. That's my excuse. Jet lagged, but I find the best way to go over jet lag is to have a hangover.
Yeah.
Okay. They usually get you through it. You know.
What do they mean by hair of the dog?
Yeah, you know, well, get you back in the time zone pretty quick. You know.
What is the etymology of hair of the dog?
Yeah, because when you get drunk and you wake up, and then they say, "Hey, you know what? Hair of the dog," and you get drunk again. Yeah. Why is it the hair of the dog?
Look it up.
I actually don't know where that came from. I'm not sure.
The person who came up with it was drunk at the time.
Originally,
probably.
Are you ready? You asked a question.
Yes.
Originally, the expression referred to a method of treating a rabid dog bite. Hair from the dog was placed in the wound. So in that sense, having another drink, any drink, is like taking hair from the dog that bit you. That is the origin of hair of the dog.
If you were bitten by a dog with rabies, you put the dog's hair in your wound and just...
Well, and
you
by
the
place
the hair in the wound.
And the person who came up with that was also drunk at the time.
It was a Neanderthal that came up with that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Neanderthal. So when you go back 10,000 BC, La Brea takes place, 10,000...
Which has got to be jet lag.
When you go back 10,000 BC,
yeah,
there were Neanderthals at that time. Do you meet Neanderthals in the show?
We don't. I don't know. Were they Neanderthals in 10,000 BC?
Yes, I looked it up. As a matter of fact, and I'll tell you something else. I did the DNA thing. I'm 1% Neanderthal.
Are you?
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
You see, maybe a little.
Every human? I mean.
Yep. It turns out that Homo sapiens and Neanderthals actually fucked each other.
Of course they did.
Right.
Because they'll Neanderthal.
I'd fuck a Neanderthal. I have no problem with that. I'd fuck a Neanderthal. Would you fuck a Neanderthal?
I guess it depends what if you're in 10,000 BC or what's going on. I guess you might not have
okay, let's say there's a direct link to a Neanderthal. It has been an unbroken chain. So a Neanderthal woman presented herself to you, and you know basically what she looks like. You're saying you would fuck her?
You know, my basic rule is consent.
You see, Owen, I can go down that alley, and I'm never disappointed with Kenny.
I can tell. I didn't know where this was going for a second.
No, but
I was like, it's all on you,
Ken. It was worth it.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't even care if it's not all real. Like, guys will say, oh, my God, those tits are phony. So?
It's something you don't have, and so
it's,
you're
and it's percentage wise. If you are a majority woman, and 40% plastic
and percentage,
right? And right, if there's less plastic than there is flesh, I'm okay with that.
Well, you know what it is for me.
This is what happens when you're married for 40 years, Owen. That's what happens when you stay. Don't get married.
I'll just stay single.
What were we talking about?
I do have a question. Let's talk about Neanderthals. And I can't believe you guys haven't introduced Neanderthals into your show.
Well, season 4.
Yeah, I don't think we did it, but it was very specific. Also, like we were down there for like a very short period of time, relatively speaking. In terms of like, you know,
I would have thought
like,
there'd be backlash from the Neanderthals out there picketing.
But Kenny, Neanderthals
really could have been.
No, wait. Let's dig into this here. So Neanderthals are what, 10,000 BC, basically?
Well, if you Google it, it gives you the why.
Is that where you are?
It gives you the time frame.
Where you are? Are you specific in La Brea as to what time period?
10,000 years ago. 10,000 BC.
10,000 BC.
Okay. Well, we're all Googling this.
We're all currently Googling.
I mean, Neanderthals were around for a very long span, and part of that span included 10,000 BC.
Neanderthal.
All right. No, I think you're wrong, Eric. It says they lived until 40,000 years ago.
Oh, they didn't make it to 10,000?
No,
that is correct.
They didn't.
I have the same thing right here.
Yeah.
But you are
correct. Okay, I apologize. So you're wrong. I apologize.
But you are correct.
Well, you'd think there'd be a couple of stray Neanderthals that might have made it to 10,000 BC. I think that would be a fun storyline, you know.
They did try and make a show for Hulu years ago, because they actually shot it in Ireland that was actually set 40,000 years ago. There wasn't also a movie 40,000 BC as well? Just something
that
like
I have not heard. I don't know.
But I can't remember the name of that show, but they tried to shoot that show in Ireland, because I have some buddies on it, and that was all set with the Anyway, whatever.
I apologize.
But we digress.
But I think hopefully we'll get the Neanderthal demo.
Right.
So I was looking at clips of your interviews, and you oftentimes get asked about your characters to explain your characters.
Right.
And I was wondering if that was boring. Because
and if it is, don't explain them now.
Right. Because to me, it's like they ask these questions and you have to sit there and explain it. And I would think it's in the work. You know what I'm saying? Not to have to like go, well, my character is this and my character. Does that kind of, I don't know if you feel that way. I kind of was thinking to myself, boy, as an actor, to have to keep explaining your character over and over again, that doesn't, it seemed to me that it would be drudgery.
You know, I remember, so the very, very first interview I ever did on television, I was like in my early 20s, and I went on this Irish TV show, and I just studied acting in New York, and I'd studied Meisner, and I thought I knew everything about it, and I'd studied cinematography, and I thought I was like understood all about film. And they asked me about a character I'd just done on this show, and I think I talked for like 6 minutes about this character, and I thought I'd given this really great detailed answer that was really interesting. And I came home, and I was staying with my mom for a couple of weeks. My mom was like, I came back and she was like, oh, I watched it. I was like, oh, great. She goes, okay. She goes, I'm going to put on some tea. She goes, you're going to sit down and you're going to watch it. And I was like, no, I don't need to. She goes, no, you're going to sit down and you're going to watch it. And she put it on and she gave me a cup of tea. And she goes, now just sit there and watch it. And I was like, I this must be great. And I watched it with her and it was so fucking boring. And she said, she goes, let's watch it again. And I was like, what the fuck? I don't want to watch it again. She goes, never do that ever again. She goes, nobody cares. Because it was so boring. Because I just spent all this time talking about the character and about my work and about the techniques I thought I'd studied and all this stuff. And I bored the shit out of myself.
But you asked that question almost in every one of the clips that I saw. You're asked that question over and over and over again.
I think you are asked that question. You try and just kind of just, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what it is. I guess if you're asking Heath Ledger about his process when he used to play the Joker or something, well, maybe that's a bad example. Sorry. But, there's certain, I guess, parts that you really want to know how people went into that place. But I think otherwise I'm with you. I think it's more about the process of what, the creation of what an overall show and the dynamics and all that type of stuff. I don't think people really want to know the intricacies of what you were thinking.
Well, also to me, it's self-evident. Right. If you want to know what the character is, watch the performance.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Like I saw the awe in your eyes at the 12 meter high dinosaur.
There you go.
Mere mention.
He was actually 11.
Owen, we have a viewer who's asking a question right now, wants to know about we don't have any viewers right now. But
actually, yeah, that would have been nice.
Explain your interesting piece around your neck.
My mom got me that in Egypt when I was like 14 years old. It was like a protection symbol under the sun. And then that was my late father's wedding ring. So my mom gave me that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I've just always wanted two of those.
Do you try to keep it on even when you're in costume? I mean, for various things, you take it off as little as possible.
I've worn it for a couple of things. I think I wore it for Merlin and a few other projects. But generally, I take it off. But I've been wearing it for so long that I'm just used to it.
Oh, it's very touching. That's cool. I'm glad the viewer asked the question.
Yeah, me too. Hey, viewer. Thank you for watching.
You did a show that took place in the future. Was that Night Flyers?
That was Night Flyers, yeah.
That took place in the future. Now you're doing a show.
How far in the future?
Fuck, Night Flyers?
40,000 years? I mean, you might have the widest span of character time of any actor I've ever known.
I know. I actually don't know how far. Night Flyers is quite far in the future. I can't remember when, though. All I know is
And now you're back in time. Here's my question, gentlemen. Yeah. If you could time travel, which way would you go?
Well, neither of those are particularly fun. Like Night Flyers was a horror sci-fi.
No,
thing.
But forget going into. I'm not saying you. BC. I'm not
Owen,
saying
you
going
think
back
about
into
it.
That
I'm
movie.
I'm going to answer that question.
I'd probably go back in time to like the 70s or the 80s or something.
I would
like
go back
really?
To my childhood in the 60s.
No kidding.
In a heartbeat. You could give me the pill right now to do that, and I would say, "See you guys. I'm out of here."
Why would you want to go back to your childhood?
It could simply be the time of life. It could simply be the time of life when you're a child and the world is so magical.
You wouldn't want to go back to a time in history
I want to go back to the feelings. I've been in this time and I've been in that time, so I can compare the two. I would like to get rid of some of the technology. I'd like to go back to the simplicity. We played outdoors, our relationships. Right.
Let me rephrase the question to be more specific.
But Gary, what happens if you went back in time to your childhood and then realized that it wasn't really idyllic because when you were a child, you saw everything better and you went back and it kind of sucked?
Yeah.
Would that change your entire concept of yourself? The rest of your life?
Yeah, I mean, that's the risk you'd take, but then I guess I'd sit around and wait to be 66 again. And you know, I know.
And then we'd have to do this whole podcast again.
I would play the lottery a lot, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
I just want to get to this.
Your question, Kenny.
And the question is this: if you could live in a time when you were not alive,
okay,
in the past, and you certainly weren't alive in the future. Basically, what I'm saying, would you time travel to the past or would you time travel to the future?
I mean, I'd go to the past.
You would right away, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Would you like to know why?
Yes, I do.
I don't know what the future has in store. It could be a sinkhole for all I know. Yeah. I don't know what the future is. Even without air conditioning, I can at least imagine riding horseback in a carriage or whatever. There's things that I can reference and deal with, and understand.
And I'd be with you because I'd also like you don't know what's going to happen with climate change or like you know you could say go 10 years into the future there might be no rhinos and no lions left. You could go back 100 years ago. And
yes,
like,
but here's a dilemma for me.
Okay, I hope you want to go into the future at least.
I do want to go into the future. I think you got a really good answer to this, Kenny.
I would go into the future because at least I know there would be hygiene. There'd be showers. There'd be toilets. There'd be air conditioning.
I don't know how anybody lived in the past
without all of those. The idea that I have to go outside to a latrine or I didn't have running water or there was no air conditioning, that to me is uncomfortable.
I don't know. Have you seen Terminator? Because if you go into the future, I don't know if they're going to have like you know running water and stuff. It looks
right.
Like
the apocalypse.
I think the Terminator could be destroyed. The guy who played the Terminator when he came down, he was well dressed and he was clean cut and he looked very
robot.
Very well coiffed.
Because he was a robot.
He was clean. He was clean.
It was a beautiful leather coat.
I'm just saying, I probably would go to the future.
I understand that. I understand that.
So your stipulations here are basically hygiene and temperature.
My comfort. My stipulation is comfort.
Kenny,
all I care about. As long as I'm comfortable. Good.
I believe that I would bitch and moan a little while about crapping in a latrine and then kind of get used to it in 2.5 weeks.
Oh, yeah? How would you like it when you get sick and they go, oh, you know how we're going to fix you? Let's put these leeches on your back. We're going to put leeches on your back.
It's fine. They just get some dog hair and they just ship it.
Right. Yeah. Hair of the dog.
Yeah, okay. Hair of the dog.
It's a good question, and we put it to the viewers. Please send us your thoughts. Would you go back in time?
I got another one. Are you ready for another one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Would you rather die from being hot or die from being cold?
Oh, you go first.
I'd want to die from being hot. I don't want to die from being cold.
I would definitely die from being cold.
No. Oh, no. That's awful. I hate
No, no, no. Gary?
Well, in a fire? I mean, are we talking about a fire?
No, huh? You know, you have all these things. Can't you just answer them? Simple. It's not a fire. You're not.
I think I would rather die from heat. Cold is horrible. Cold.
Okay, let me tell you why.
Although they say
there's
a euphoria that kicks in when you freeze to death.
I'll tell you the reason. I'll tell you why you guys got it wrong.
Because they died.
I'll tell you why you guys got it wrong.
Well, have you seen Last of the Mohicans? Remember Last of the Mohicans when the guy dies in fire? That doesn't look like fun.
That did not look.
I'm not talking about fire. I'm just talking about sweltering heat.
Like,
I'm talking
about the
heat.
It's so hot.
You're walking in the desert. You're walking in the desert, and you die.
Heat prostration.
Then I go being in the desert. I remember actually Jared was working on a project. You can ask him about it. We did a project in the Mojave Desert about 8 or 9 years ago, and Harry was working on it too. And Jared actually got heat stroke on that, and we had to bring him to the hospital. A couple of them got heat stroke. I was really happy, not because he got heat stroke, but because I was so hot, and I love the heat, and I would, you know, I much prefer to like be in a sweltering desert.
And I'll tell you why I think both of you made the wrong choice.
I do remember that Jared went to work the next day after that, and I have no idea how. Because he'd been in hospital getting an ID drip in the Mojave Desert.
That's why I'd rather die in the cold. And the reason is this, is because they do cryogenics. So if you freeze to death, there is the possibility.
You have to be frozen in half a second.
Whatever. I'm just saying.
You're
that's
slowly
now,
dying.
But not in the future. Maybe in the future.
So like Hatchet Jack in Jeremiah Johnson. You slowly die. Now, they do say, I repeat, that there's a euphoria as your body.
I see
down.
What's happening.
It even
here,
creates
Jared.
Warmth in your mind.
Do you remember, wasn't there that movie? Was Brendan Fraser? Didn't he play the Neanderthal that was frozen and came alive?
Right. Yes,
this, I just watched. This is all going full circle for Kenny.
Yes. Oh, wow. I had not realized that, Owen.
Yeah.
Those things are all put together. Yeah, that's where I got
your ideas.
That shaped a lot of my opinions.
There you go.
Fascinating.
Interesting question, though.
Okay. Well, you know what? Maybe we should ask Owen some questions so people can find out about
it. You don't want me to participate?
No, I do. I think
you
should.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I think you should. I think I want Owen to answer. Owen, I think all of America wants to know, what's your next project?
Oh, I have no idea.
Ah, well, there you go, America. Let's move on.
No, that's the name of the project. Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't have no idea. Oh. Yeah.
He plays a Neanderthal who freezes to death
and is
rediscovered 40,000 years later.
And has no idea what's going on. Exactly. It's 40,000 years later and discovers that there's hygiene and there's air conditioning and it's the whole thing.
Can I propose maybe I would like to write this. Owen Mackin stars in I Married a Neanderthal.
Yeah,
you meet a girl.
I reckon there's probably a movie. I'm gonna check right now. I reckon
put that in there. And he was a Croatian Neanderthal, and he could only say "Ja ima veliki kurac."
Do you know? No, there's no movie, but there is a book about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can buy it on Barnes and Noble. Yeah.
Speaking of time, we're out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, that was good.
That was very smooth.
We are out of time. So we want to thank our very special guest, Owen Mackin. It's been such a joy talking to you, Owen, because we've been trying for so long. Your work is spectacular. Your success is wonderful to watch. And it's been a lot of fun. And so when I show up in Dublin, I hope you will.
I will. I'll see you in the Guinness Factory. You can both go and explore some
all right.
Thing.
So
it's
to our
pleasure,
to all our fans, we are on all popular podcast platforms. We are on DBTV, which is streaming, and we have a YouTube channel, The Gary and Kenny Show. Please give us a thumbs up, subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments. Until next time, so long. I'm Gary. That's Kenny. And wherever Owen may be, say goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, folks.
Cheers, guys.